Hello and welcome to a Bergkamp Wonderland, an Arsenal podcast. I nearly said what we were doing then before I told you what it was. Again, if you are listening, you will know it is an Arsenal podcast. This is going to be the... I've talked for quite a while about the wonderful George Bird, who I steal all of his information about the youths every week when I do the youth roundup. I have asked him and he always says, yes, it's okay. And a while ago, maybe about Christmas, I asked him if he wanted to come on and do a special just talking about the youth system. And he said yes. And we've only just now... getting around to talking about it. So, George, say hello.
Oh, hello.
Are you excited to be here?
Yeah, I'm really excited, yeah.
Oh, good. And also, we have Mr. Goonaholic. David, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you, Danny. Thanks for inviting me. This is going to be a good show, I think. I've been looking forward to talking to George.
Yeah, so right. He's almost an international man of mystery.
By the way, I should explain, if you get any outside noises now, like birdsong or the roar of the A419, it's because it's about 27 degrees here. My head is melting under this headset, and I've got the window wide open right behind me, so you can consider it an outside broadcast.
I've got my back door open and my front door open, and I'm being plagued by flies.
I don't think I want to know about your back door being open. Thank you, madam.
Right then, George, I asked you before we started, was it a stupid question to assume that you're an Arsenal fan? And you said, no, you are an Arsenal fan. So tell us a little bit about yourself, why you support Arsenal, and what got you interested in your amazing in-depth knowledge of Arsenal youth football?
Well, I support Arsenal because my dad does, and his dad did as well. My granddad used to live next to Highbury, so I didn't really have a difficult decision to make, really. But in terms of getting interested in the youth team, I was always intrigued by the players that used to play in the Carling Cup as it was then, and how they managed to bred into the first team. And then I started going to youth matches about 10 years ago, and then it just took off from there, really.
The most important thing I suppose we should talk about is how do you feel about the current state of our youth setup? Because over the last few years, there's been some ups, there's been some downs. And my personal highlight was the under-18s last season, pulling it out of the bag and almost winning the league. So, what's your thoughts on the under-18s and the under-23s?
Well, the main thing to say at the moment is that we've lost a lot of talented players in the last few weeks, like Caelan Hines, Chris Willock and Dan Crowdy. But we still have a lot of talented youngsters at under-23 and under-18 levels. At the moment, you're seeing a lot of them in pre-season with the first team, Reece Nelson, Eddie Nketiah, and Joe Willock especially. But the problem is that, and it's been a problem for quite a few years now, is that most of Arsenal's best talents are either attackers or midfielders. And defensively at youth level, Arsenal teams usually make so many mistakes, and that's what stops them really from challenging for honours. But they do have a lot of attacking talents, and there's a lot of exciting attacking midfielders and wingers in the new scholars that have just been brought up to the first team training ground recently. There's Javier Michi, who's a really skillful winger, and Trey Coyle as well, who trained with the first team when he was a schoolboy last season. And there are some really exciting talents, but the main problem is that we're not producing enough defensive talents, and that's a major issue with the youth system at the moment, really.
Do you think it has affected, because one of the other questions I've wrote down is I've put, with Andres Jonker and Freddy Ljungberg leaving to join Wolfsburg, was that a huge blow for Arsenal? As when Jonker joined Arsenal to replace Liam Brady in 2014, many of us would have thought that he was going to be here for a long time, not just three seasons. So has that caused a lot of turmoil?
Yeah, I think it did a bit, because it was quite unexpected that Jonker would leave at that stage. And the job that he did wasn't perfect, but he did change a lot of things, and he was getting the youth teams playing in a more cohesive way, and there did seem to be a lot of youngsters training with the first team and becoming more involved with the squad. But after he left it, the youth system still managed to carry on until the end of the season with Luke Hobbs in temporary charge. But now with the appointment of Per Mertesacker is going to take over in 2018. There should be a new regime coming in and lots of new ideas. But Luke Hobbs has done quite a good job as the interim academy manager behind the scenes. He doesn't really get much publicity, but he's helped to develop quite a lot of young talent, and he knows a lot about the players and their individual styles as well. So he's done a good job. So it did come as a major shock, Jonker leaving, but the academy has managed to hope to cope like in the interim, really.
Ah, good. While you're talking about Per, another question I'd written down was there's been a lot of changes to the academy staff recently. Is there any other people coming in or going out from the academy staff in preparation for Per taking over next season?
Not at the moment, no. But I think when he is fully in the role, I think he will probably appoint a few new coaches. I think Art will definitely need new under 23 coaches because personally, I don't think that Steve Gattin and Carl Lowerman are of the required standard to get the best out of some of the youth players. But I think I wouldn't be surprised if he brought in some German coaches or other coaches from abroad to try and implement a different style. But I think Marta Saka is a good appointment in terms of he's seen how Germany have revolutionised their youth system, and hopefully he can do a similar thing with Arsenal. But at the moment, with the youth coaching staff, I don't think there's going to be many changes at the moment. But I think that when Marta Saka actually does take over, then there probably will be quite a lot of changes, yeah.
Yes. Also, they've changed it from... this is something that I was messing up all last season, because it used to be the under-18s and the under-21s. They've changed it from under-21 to under-23. Do you think that has helped with... because I think you can have two or three or possibly four overage players playing for the under-23s. Has it helped going from 21 to 23? And why did the league decide to do that?
I think the reason they decided to do it was they introduced the Premier League 2, and they're trying to make it as basically the second Premier League, playing more games in proper first team stadiums and getting more fans to watch matches and putting some of them on TV as well to try and make it actually as close to the Premier League as possible. But it hasn't really had the desired effects, to be honest. And I think the change to under-23s didn't really help Arsenal in particular, because in the second half of last season you were getting players Jenkinson and Debussy and Sinogo as regulars in the under-23s, and talented players Nketiah and Corey Johnson weren't getting games because of that. And that really just seemed bewildering to me, because Jenkinson and Sinogo, etc., didn't have any future at the club, and they were just being given game time as overage players.
Do you think, though, George, thinking about it, that with you look at the players who are getting to 20, 21, our better players are being farmed out anyway to get Football League experience. So maybe that 23 age limit is kind of stretching it a little bit.
Yeah, I think that it could be that, yeah. And a lot of players go out on loan at 18 or 19, but I think if they stayed at Arsenal and played more youth games, then maybe they'd be ready to take their chance in the first team, if a player got injured or something. If they were on loan, then they might not get a chance. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with Iwobi, really, because he was going to go on loan, but he just happened to stay, and then the opportunity came for him and he took it.
Yeah, exactly that. But you were kind of talking about defensively, we've not really got a great wealth of talent at the Arsenal. There is one, of course, the key guy appears to be Christian Bielik, but he's not going to be playing for us this season, it looks like. They're going to try and farm him out again to a Championship club, I understand. So while you're not playing your best defensive talent at that level, it's always going to be difficult for us.
Yeah. And the thing is that Arsenal have had so few defenders at youth level in recent years that they've had to convert midfielders and fullbacks into centre backs. And but one of the best youth defenders at Arsenal at the moment is Ben Chief, but he joined as a defensive midfielder, but now he's developed into a really good centre back. But in terms of actually bringing through defenders ourselves, we've had a major problem with that for a lot of years.
Yeah, I understand.
You mentioned Ben Sheaf there. That's almost a perfect segue into a question from Footy Innit. And he says, I watched Ben Sheaf play centrally with Rob Holding last season. Do you think he can step up similarly? I've had to get David out to tell me to say the word for me, David. I can't
Similarly. Yeah.
Similarly. I've got a tooth missing. So he says, do you think he can step up? And after the inexplicable omission of, we call him the Jeff, that's Jeff Rennie Adler, whose name I've probably butchered as well. How do we entice kids to join Arsenal in the future?
Well, with Ben Chief, he's injured at the moment, and that was really unfortunately timed, because he probably would like a certainty to go with a first team in pre-season, and that would have been like an excellent experience for him, and especially with a three at the back system, there's more chances for defenders, and I think he could have coped really well. If you're looking at the moment, we're playing like Elneny and like Maitland-Niles at centre back in the pre-season games, but Sheaf could have had a run out then if he was fit, and that could have been like a pathway for him into the first team. But I think he could be involved like in the League Cup, but at some point in the season he'll probably go on loan, I think, probably to a Championship or League One team. But he is a really talented player, and he's because he'd never played at centre back before last season, and he was just put there because we had to put like all our centre backs in the first team, like Chambers and Holding, at the beginning of the season, and then he just stayed there and it just worked out, and he's done really well.
It's a bit like Ainsley Maitland-Niles switching into fullback, isn't it?
Yeah.
Similar situation.
Yeah, that was a pearl of wisdom that I plucked from one of your blogs last season and give you full credit for it, that you said when Ashley Maitland-Niles, Conservative, had played at left-back in the League Cup, that or right-back, whichever one he played, he'd never played at left-back or right-back. I think you said he'd played one half a game in his entire career at that position.
Yeah, because he was actually like a winger when he first came through, and he played like as a striker sometimes as well, but now he's being used like everywhere, but the thing with him is like he's so assured, and he's like calm as well, so he can cope with like whatever situation like he's put in, really.
Didn't you put today that he's now been called up officially to the first team?
Yes, he has been, yeah. But that doesn't really mean he's going to play like a lot, really, but because like Ren Adelaide was part of the first team squad last season, he didn't play that much. But I think Maitland-Niles will be involved in the League Cup.
Where do you see his best position? George? You hear me, David?
Is he on mute?
Have you muted yourself, George?
Let me have a bash at answering that. Ainsley Maitland-Niles' best position, I think we saw at Southampton last year in the FA Cup. He's got a big future ahead of him on the right side, probably in midfield. But he comes inside as well and looks, there's a touch of the Ramsey about him there. He looks very comfortable. Whether he ends up making that final leap from first team squad to first team regular, I don't know. But he looks a fair bet to me. Good player.
Yeah, because I think I was judging him on his loan when it was at Ipswich, wasn't he, with Mick McCarthy? And I think he played most of the games out wide. It might have been left side.
Yeah,
for some reason, I can't remember.
Who would want to play for Mick McCarthy?
Doesn't encourage you to play the world's greatest football, but you're not going to say that to his face, are you? Because he might poke you in the eye with his big nose.
Yeah. Let me put some stuff into context while we're trying to get George back about youth football and the experience I've got it down the years. I think most people who listen now know that I've been kind of watching the club, knowingly watching the club since the 1960s, the early 60s. And that was a time when we had probably our first golden period of producing young talent, when we had the likes of George Armstrong, John Radford, Peter Story, Peter Simpson, John Samuels come through underneath Billy Wright's management and George Swindon's management. And Bertie Mee got the benefit of those players when he was appointed manager in 1966. And then he got a second wave of youngsters, the likes of Eddie Kelly, Charlie George and Ray Kennedy, moulded those players together into a side that won our first European trophy and won the double in 1971. And you kind of think, well, you're never going to be able to repeat that, are you? But we did it again, kind of, when George Graham took over as the manager at a club, and he got the benefit of the youngsters that Terry Neill and Don Howard left behind. So all of a sudden, you had Tony Adams, you had Martin Hayes, Michael Thomas, David Rowcastle, some tremendous Paul Merson, some absolutely fantastic players. And of course, everybody knows what happened in 1989 and 1991. And again, 1993 and 94, that became a great side. So those two golden periods that we had of youth development are what we've aimed to try and emulate since. And we haven't really done it. You look at it, there's been the odd success. Ashley Cole came through, of course, in recent years. It's been a bit more promising with the likes of Jack Wilshere, Hector Bellerin, Alex Iwobi. Some good young players coming through, but we haven't got the same depth of talent that we had in the 60s and again in the 80s. So that kind of puts, I hope, today into context.
George, do you think we'll ever see another era like Dave was just mentioning from the 71 double team and my era, the George Graham time? Or do you think that the likes of Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea chucking hundreds of millions at it has ruined it for everyone?
I think it's very difficult now. I don't think there'll be a time where you'll see like a golden generation of players like what Man United had and like what Arsenal had before. I think it's almost impossible to do that now because there's so much pressure on managers to win trophies and not win every single game, and they can't always afford to take the risk to put young players in. But I think the closest Arsenal have come in recent years was about 8 or 9 years ago, where we had the team that won the Youth Cup in 2009 and the league title as well, when we had the likes of Wilshere, Emmanuel Thomas, Coquelin, Lansbury and Frimpong and players like that. Like, the whole team was basically really, really good at that level, and a lot of them have gone on to quite good careers, if not all of them at Arsenal. But that was a really good team. But in terms of getting lots of players into the first team at once, I just don't think it's possible at the moment, really.
I was talking to David before the show started, and I think I've mentioned this before, that last season Chelsea had over 30 players out on loan, and they had actually paid well over £100 million for those few players, or those 30 players. And when you're coming up against stuff like that, it's just impossible. David, what was that bit you told me earlier about Chelsea's longest-serving player?
I was reading on Twitter somewhere today, I think it was, or maybe it was what someone in WhatsApp told me. Their longest-serving professional has been with the club for 9 years, and he's been loaned out each and every one of those 9 years and hasn't played a single match for Chelsea, which I find incredible. But I think if you talk to Lord Hillwood about it, I think he will tell you there is a suspicion that they are using the loan fees for those players to help put their financial structure in a legal place, if you get my drift.
Well, you wouldn't be surprised, would you? Because that's how other teams have got around the sponsorship thing. Like Man City have got their training ground sponsored by someone, and Man United had was it DHL sponsoring their training kits?
Yeah.
So there's it's like the people who do like film piracy and computer piracy. The people that are the best at it are never the ones trying to stop it.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you've got some brilliant solicitors and things doing that.
Yeah, but we digress. And of course, the interesting thing about the youth setup today is the sheer amount of money it costs, because they don't just have a coaching staff. They also have a fitness staff. They also have people who are analysing everything that they do, what's best for them nourishment-wise. So we're pumping millions and millions of pounds into this setup in order that, yes, you actually do want to get one or two players per generation in order to get some of that money back. And it would be nice to think that we do. But as George says, the managers are under such pressure to achieve success at first team level. There is kind of this unwillingness to take that gamble. And where we have brought through Bellerin and Iwobi, for example, it's been as a result of injuries and them being the last resort, if you like. So it's an awful lot of money to be bringing through players in an unplanned fashion.
See, my local team, Peterborough United, who I'm quite fond of, when they had financial problems a few years ago, the first thing they did was scrap the youth system. But when you think the likes of Jimmy Bullard and Craig McHale-Smith, and then you had Matty Etherington and I think it's Simon Davies went to Spurs for fortune. And only yesterday, Britt Asabalonga. I'm not even going to say it. I can't say it. They sold him for about $5.8 million to Forest. Forest didn't cough up all the money for it. Now Forest had just sold him to Middlesbrough for I think £14 million. Hopefully Peterborough will get a kickback from that. But well, not kickback. That sounds dodgy. A sell-on percentage. But yeah, there's so many players that that can be produced. Any thoughts on that, George? Before I move on to the next question.
I think especially for lower league teams, youth systems are really important. It's a way of generating a lot of money as well, and it tends to be a lot of League One and League Two clubs do produce good players, and a lot of them get snapped up by like Premier League teams, especially when the players are like 15 or 16. And Arsenal done that quite a few times like in recent years, and Chelsea have as well. So, yeah.
There was like Dele Alli is the superb example of that. I'd never heard of him when they bought him. Spurs bought him from Milton Keynes, the Scottish team, MK Dons, and now looking. But then we did that with was it Sami Ayagi? We got him. We had him on trial from Charlton. Centre back scored a goal on his debut. Then we got him. We bought him or took him. Yeah. And he spent a season with us, and then he left again.
Yeah,
it's got to be quite good.
Yeah, but he literally trained with the first team like about 100 times, but I think that it's just because they didn't have like many like youth centre backs at that time, so he was just like brought in just to train with the first team really. But he wasn't really like a major signing with a future really.
It's I don't think teams can afford lower league teams because you can make so much money for it, and the English player premium. And unless that applies to Arsenal, then we don't get the English player premium. We just have to pay it. And this is one for you both to think about. Which youth players in recent years did you really think would make it that didn't? So while you two are thinking about that, I've made a list of a few players. I always quite like Daniel Boateng. He's now playing in the Scottish third division, as in that'd be League One. Connor Henderson, he's just been released by, I think, Crawley, that are in the fourth tier of English football. Zach Fagan, another one who had decent stats for the youth. So he's with a seventh tier English team. Tarum Dawkins, he's with a ninth division team. And one that what I always used to really like was Austin Lippman. He's now playing, I think he may have even given up and he's only playing part-time football, but the last I saw, he was playing a local London league, and that's the 11th tier of English football. Have you two got, George, is there any that you can think of that you thought, hey, he's definitely going to make it and that hasn't?
I think the main one is J. Emmanuel Thomas. He was like so good at under 18 level. He used to like run the games like on his own, and he even outperformed like the likes of like Lansbury and Wilshere and players like that at times. And he just like dribbled past like six players on his own and stuff. But he didn't really take his opportunity when the fleeting opportunities that he got in the first team. And then I think you can tell that like, from his subsequent career that there must have been like something wrong with his like application or determination or something, because like, he's naturally like really, really talented.
So isn't he at QPR at the moment, or been out on a couple of loans?
Yeah, he is at QPR, but he was on loan like last season. Yeah.
What other ones can you think of?
I actually thought Craig Eastman was like really good when he first broke through, and
that's a good shout.
He did. I remember a game against Liverpool in the Carling Cup where he was like, I think he was the man of the match, and he looked like really, really good. But he was a right back at first, and then they just moved him to midfield, and he looked like he could be an option there. And he was actually like ahead of Coughlin at one stage, but then he just like faded away after a while.
David?
Well, for me, what I remember mostly is the ones who arrived with the most hype behind them, which means the one who really stands out would be Wellington Silva. Because I remember being told about when he had his trial at London Colney, he looked just simply unplayable, and they couldn't wait to get him here from Brazil. And when finally they got him here, they had to ship him out a bit smartish to try and get him a European passport. But of course, it never worked out for him in was it Spain he went to and played in the Spanish Segunda Liga or something like that.
And what was that? I was just looking someone up.
Wellington Silva.
Oh, he had about four loans out to various Spanish teams at the second
division. He arrived with a huge reputation and had a blinder of a trial, but it just never came to anything, and he's gone back over there. He actually is playing for a Brazilian club now, isn't he? This is where we should have Tim Stillman. He'd tell you in a shot.
I'm a big fan of Brazilian football. My team, Corinthians, are about 10 points clear at the top, but yeah, I think Chris was talking about it, saying that we are buying Wellington Silva back so that we can sell him to another club and make £1 million profit. It sounded a little bit like Cabadiawara situation, because
it sounds like Kenny Sansom and Clive Allen.
Oh, it's good to see that the old days. I'm just having a look to see Silva, Wellington Silva, see where he is now. It'd be the one born in 93. He is Fluminense. He had loans at Levante, Alcoyena, Ponte Ferradina, Murcia, Almeria, and then Bolton. And yeah, I remember talking about him on the loan report when he was at Bolton. He did almost nothing, but I think that's the season that Bolton went down. Yeah, because he was in the same team as Rob Holding.
dear European clubs, we do apologise for those pronunciations.
I don't have a problem with Japanese teams' names or German team names. That's weird, isn't it?
No, well, you know, what can you get wrong with Grampus Nagoya 8?
I've actually got Yokohama Flugels. I like those. But on my FIFA game, my background badge is Kashima Antlers, because it's a hell of a just a set of antlers on a background. It's brilliant.
We digress. Let's make the most of while George is here.
Yeah, I have a tendency of wandering off. George, is there any other players that you
I think Ozan Osijek was really, really talented, but that wasn't a case of like Arsenal like letting him go. He wanted to leave at an early age, and he's actually performed like quite consistently for Besiktas, and he plays for Turkey at senior level, and he's still only like 24 as well, and he was actually linked with a move back to Arsenal recently, and I think he's like a really talented player. He's like probably one of the ones who's done the best out of the ones who didn't like quite make it at Arsenal, really.
I'll tell you what's going to be really interesting as well is how Chris Willock gets on at Benfica, because if he establishes himself there, we've missed out on a good one.
Yeah, that was a question from one of the from at the Big Boss AFC says, will Chris Willock be a massive success in Portugal, and will his brother make it at Arsenal? So what do you think about that, George?
Well, Chris Willock's already done really well at Benfica so far. He's signed like for their B team initially, but he's already trained with their first team, and he's going on their pre-season tour, and he could actually play at the Emirates Cup for Benfica as well, which would be quite interesting. But I think mainly next season, if he is involved with the first team at Benfica, he'll probably be a sub like mostly, but and he's still like really young as well. He's only 19, so he's got a lot of years ahead of him, and he's signed a 5-year contract, so he might not make like the biggest impact initially, but I think he could do that very well like eventually. But with regards to Joe Willock, his development is actually like quite interesting, because he's always been like very highly rated, but until like a couple of years ago, he wasn't that strong physically. He was quite short, but then now he's like a lot taller. He's stronger, but at times last season he didn't even like get into the team for the under-18s, and now he's it's only a friendly, but he's starting like for the first team in a friendly, and he's looked like probably the best like youth player out of all of those who have.
Well, him and Reece Nelson have both made an impression.
Yeah, and but the interesting thing is he hadn't really played as a like deep lying midfielder that much before, and he's just looked like a natural in that position in the two games that he played like so far, and he's like winning the ball really well, and he's driving forward. So I think he could be like a surprise like player like to make the breakthrough like in the next 2 or 3 years.
There was one other thing I was going to talk about. The two players that for me that one of them has now left the club, super Dan Crowley and Gideon Zelalem.
No.
What's happened with those? Was it Dan Crowley's attitude? Because I mean, I've got a list of the loans. So we had 24 loans last season. His loans were just shockingly pointless. I know you wrote in some of your blogs that Zelalem needs a really good loan. What's going on with Zelalem, and why hasn't it worked out for Crowley? And why has Crowley gone to Holland of all places? Not that there's anything wrong with Holland. They're fantastic with youth football, but
Crowley, first of all, he had a couple of loans in England at Barnsley and Oxford, and he didn't really do a lot, and he wasn't really suited to like how the team played, really. But then he went to Go Ahead Eagles in Holland in the second half of last season, and he actually did really, really well. And this summer he came back to Arsenal, and he's got like less than a year left on his contract, so I think he's just decided that he's not going to get a chance at Arsenal with players like Xhaka and Ramsey and Ozil sector ahead of him, so he's just gone to Holland and like as a first team player, and he'll hopefully play like a lot this season. And that's like quite a trend like recently, that a lot of English youngsters are going abroad because they feel there's going to be more opportunities there, and a lot of like Dutch teams and German teams like to play like free flowing football, whereas many lower league teams in England don't. So that could be a factor behind that. And Zelalem is out injured at the moment. He's got a long-term injury, so he probably won't be back until like January or February. So, and it's difficult to see him like making it now, to be honest, because his contract ends at the end of next season as well. So it's going to be really difficult for him unless he just makes a major impact after he comes back from injury. But they both like seemed extremely talented when they joined, and they are still like extremely talented, but it just hasn't worked out for them. Like the loans for Crowley didn't work out. Zelalem's loaned to
Rangers. Zelalem going to Rangers was a weird one.
Yeah, that didn't work out at all. And but I think it was always going to be the case that one of them wouldn't make it, at least because we had Ozil and Ramsey and Xhaka and like lots of midfielders. But now it looks like both of them won't make it. So it's a bit surprising. And the fact that Crowley left without playing a competitive game for the first team, like, you really wouldn't have predicted that when he joined, because he's such a talented player. But that's just the way that it's worked out.
You might not know the answer to this, George, but as he had a year left on his contract, do you know if we've written anything into the deal about a sell-on clause or a buyback clause?
I don't know anything about that, really, but Arsenal don't often tend to do that. The only time I've heard of them having a buyback clause is on Benikofobe when he went like a couple of years ago. But
yeah,
they do have sell-on clauses sometimes, but I don't think there'd be a buyback clause in that deal.
Okay. That's fine. Fair enough.
Another thing that I've thought that we should talk about is being the, I don't know if you call yourself an expert, but we're going to call you an expert. What changes would you like to see in youth football in England? And what would you like to see brought in? And how do you think that any changes that you would like to see brought in, what would you hope that the results of that would be?
Well, the first one, I think it's unrealistic and it's not going to happen, but I think there should be like a rule where there should be at least like two academy graduates like in a match day squad like in the Premier League, like for each team, for each game. That would just encourage teams to develop youngsters. But and I think the FA have done a lot of good work, and we're seeing that now with like the England youth teams doing really, really well this summer. But there's still so much more to do. And I think when you look at certain managers just aren't going to give like youth players a chance, and then you're never going to be able to change that, really. Like, if you look at Gnabry when he went to West Brom and he didn't do anything because he wasn't given a chance. If players aren't given a chance, like English teams, they're not going to be able to do anything. So sometimes it's impossible to make the situation better. But I think if they did have like a rule where they had to, like each team has to play a certain amount of youth players, then they would like force them to actually put an emphasis on youth development, because a lot of teams just aren't concerned by that at the moment, because they're just more focused on just getting like senior players in for like large amounts of money.
Do you think that I wouldn't be surprised if they did bring that rule in, everyone would go, oh, that's a really good rule. But then they do what they do in Italy with substitutions, where you can name as many substitutes as you want. That would be a way of doing it and also getting around it. Do you know in Italy if that has disrupted the way that youth football works now that you can have an infinite number of players not named on the bench?
But I don't know too much about it. But I think a lot of youth players like in Italy, from what I've seen, have still like got a lot of chances, so I don't think it's had like I think it's had like quite a good effect, really. Like,
to be fair, when you've got an injury record like Arsenal, we probably use more young players on the bench than anybody else. We don't bring them on very often, but you get halfway through a season, we've usually got three or four kids on the bench because we've got no fit professionals left.
That's sadly true. I noticed a couple of times in the League Cup last season, even in the early FA Cup runs, we wouldn't even bring on all the subs. And I remember thinking, what an idea, if you're 3 or 4 nil up, not that we really were, but when you're winning a game and it's 5 minutes to go, why not bring on one of the youth players? I mean, the amount of confidence that must give a youth player and makes them feel a part of the team. And I mean, like I used to always do it in Football Manager, I used to always bring on the youth players just so they say that they could say they played for Arsenal.
Well, we're also spurning the opportunity, Dan, isn't that last season, the equivalent or replacement for the Johnston's Paints Trophy, the Premier League clubs were invited to put their academy sides in for the draw. We've decided not to, but a few have. I think last season it was 9. Chelsea, I know this season Manchester City and West Ham have, because actually West Ham are coming down to Swindon for week 1. So that's it'd be interesting to see the sort of quality that they've got at that level, because Swindon will be beatable by anybody, I'm quite sure.
George, do you know what David just said? Do you know why we didn't go into the Johnson's Pate Trophy of our youths like would have been an obvious thing to do?
I think last season one of the reasons was because they had the UEFA Youth League, but this season they don't have it and they've elected to not go into the Paint Trophy as it was known again. But I think it's mainly they just want to focus on playing under 23 games, loaning a lot of players out. But I think it would be a really, really good experience for those youth players to actually come up against senior players and test themselves with that. Because when they play senior teams in pre-season, they play Leighton Orient and teams like that, and it's always a really good experience for them because they're playing against men who are a lot older and a lot stronger than them. So I think it'd be really beneficial, but it didn't really make sense as to why they haven't chosen to do that, really.
Good point.
A bit weird. It would, if nothing else, that the people would watch more of those games on TV, wouldn't they? Because I know Southampton had a good run, and Chelsea had a half decent run. There was one Premier League team that got to the semi final, the quarter final. It might have been Southampton, and then they got hammered. I think 5-1. On my Hibernian, I do this thing because I love stats and player history. I've got this. I've gone back to every single player who's played at any level from under 18, 21 or 23 for Arsenal since 2012-13 onwards. And I've put how many games they've played in each season and through all different competitions. And I was looking at the number of players that are there that have just gone on to do absolutely nothing in football. Do you ever have any contact with any of these players? And do they ever say, or if they do they ever say what went wrong, or have you got an idea of what goes wrong so often?
Yeah, I've spoken to a couple of them who used to play quite a long time ago, and they said that but Arsenal do have their favourites that they earmark for success sometimes, and they just focus a lot of the development on them and don't always give chances to other players if they don't feel they've got a really good chance of making it. But with a lot of players, I think out of if you get 12 players in the scholarship intake, you're only going to get two or three that have a realistic chance of getting into the first team. It can't be expected that you're going to get six or seven actually going to have a really good chance of making it. So I think you probably have to lower expectations a bit sometimes. But if you look at where a lot of the youth players have ended up, it's quite staggering with how many are playing in the non-league, and some, as far as I can tell, don't even play football at all anymore. So, and that some of them actually looked really talented a few years ago. So it is quite staggering, but it's so difficult to make it, and you just have to take your chance when you get it.
Have you done any blogs about this sort of stuff, David? Because I know you've been doing for blogs for 11 long years. You must have covered it.
Well, I haven't covered it in depth as such, but I think I did a piece when I did one of the London Colney tours about the kind of competitive nature that they build up. They have kind of the youth setup is in one side of the building, and there are very definite barriers in terms of doorways to get through to get to the first team area. And they are always at the younger players that they've got, is that your ambition while you're here is to be able to walk through that door one day and join the next changing room. So that's the walk that Reinhard Leyde has just made. And they then, of course, they get this fuss when they get there. They've got to do their initiation stuff and what have you. But that kind of, that was an eye-opener for me to see that the way that they are kind of separate, although they'll be brought together on the playing field because you'll need young players to make up the numbers when we've got injuries in training matches. But actually inside the building, there is this physical barrier and a definite sense of to make progress, you have to stand out.
One thing I'm talking about that and the young players making it, I am often dismayed at how often Wenger would rather play a first team player out of position than give a reserve team player from that position a chance. And I do find that quite annoying.
Yeah, particularly when he played that Henry bloke at centre forward. You could see he was a winger.
Oh, Terence, he was awful. Right, I'm going to move on to some questions now. Now, some of these questions we've already covered because I'm no good at planning stuff out. And so this is from Rufus, 1886. What a fine year, sir. I doubt that's when he was born. This is a three tweets it took him to send this. He put, will we see a totally new academy under Mertesacker? Would like to hear George's thoughts about where he sees the academy going in the next 18 to 24 months. Also, there seem to be some certainties for the first team football, i.e. Nabry, Crowley, ZLM and the Jeff. What happens? So start off with the, what do we think is going to happen in the next 18 to 24 months under Per's guidance?
Well, I think it will change a lot of things. And I think because he's a defender, obviously he's got specialist knowledge about what it takes to make it as a defender at the highest level. So,
which is something you've said.
Hopefully, he'll be able to address that issue and get more defenders through. But it will take a long time, obviously. But I actually don't. I'm not completely sure that Mertesacker's going to be in the job for a really long time, because I think maybe he's just using this as to gain experience as a coach and working with young players before maybe moving on to something else eventually. But I think there are a lot of things that need to be improved, and I think he will change a lot, but it's going to take a long time, really. But I think placing an emphasis on improving how Arsenal defend at youth level would be a major step in the right direction, really.
And what happened with the likes of, I know we've covered Crowley and Zelen, but with Nabry, was that just a case of he wanted to go because he had that fantastic, was it the Youth World Cup, where he was scoring, I think he ended up top goal scorers, banging in goals all over the place. And I think the fact that he's been at, where did he go, Werder Bremen?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that he's been there one season and Bayern Munich have bought him already probably shows that he was right to leave and believe in himself.
Yeah. He had that season at Arsenal where he broke into the first team and he was involved quite a lot, and he was going to push on after that, but then he got an injury at the wrong time. It seemed to happen with a lot of our young players. But then he went to West Brom and on loan, and that basically ruined his Arsenal career because he just didn't play. Really.
Tony Pulis didn't rate him. He said he wasn't any good.
Oh, unbelievable. Mind you, having said that he's gone to Bayern Munich, I see they've sent him straight back out on loan again to Hoffenheim, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think he actually asked to go on loan. But I think maybe when he comes back, Ribéry will probably be near the end of his career. So maybe,
yeah, of course.
Take over then.
But yeah, good luck to the lad.
Mm. Magnificent player. It's like Theo Walcott with muscles and you can't get him off the ball. Fantastic player. I'd love to have seen him stayed, but turns out he was probably right for himself. Plus, he being German, you want to go back and play for the top German teams.
Mm-hmm.
Right, this next one from Harry English. Harry English, 69. He says, can you ask George what he thinks about the Jeff's future? I saw George say that he wasn't included in the squad for the pre-season tour.
Yeah. Well, he got an injury towards the end of last season, which ruled him out for the last couple of months. And then he came back for pre-season, but he wasn't fully involved in training. He wasn't in full training completely. And then he had one session with the ball, I think, actually outside playing and last week or the week before. And then he wasn't included in the tour squad, but I thought it was mainly because he's not fully fit. But now there's a lot of speculation suggesting that he's not in Wenger's plans. But I'd find it difficult to believe that he's not in his plans at all, considering that he's still really young, and Wenger seems to rate him highly from how he's given him chances over the past couple of years. But I think there was a ridiculous amount of hype surrounding him after the Emirates Cup game 2 years ago, because he basically signed for Arsenal and he just went straight into the first team in pre-season. But since then, he hasn't actually had that many spectacular performances. That game against Wolfsburg is probably still the best game that he's played for Arsenal. He's had a few good games at youth level, but a lot of times he doesn't close players down enough. He doesn't do enough off the ball, so he's still quite raw and he's got a lot of developing to do, but he's still technically he's really talented, he's tall as well, he's good at going past players. But I think he's a player who once he's fully fit again would really benefit from going on loan, and I think to an English team as well, if he's like guaranteed to play and like they fit his playing style, because that would help him to get a bit stronger and to develop tactically, because at the moment he's not ready to play for Arsenal really.
You like him, don't you, David?
Yeah, I must admit, I haven't seen a great deal of him, but when I have watched him, there's no doubt he has tremendous ability. He's got great control, wonderful dribbling skills. As with so many players with those talents, he is prone to overdo it. He doesn't know when to let the ball go. He doesn't play with his head up, if you know what I mean. He doesn't know what's going on around him. That's the one thing he has to get into his game. And if he does, he makes it. He'll be a footballer. But it's one of the hardest things to teach someone, to get someone to do naturally.
Okay, good. I agree with that. This one is from AFC underscore thoughts, which I think is a new Arsenal blog. He says, why are we so bad at using the loan system? And he's put in brackets, Apcom, Canabry and Crowley. And I just looked at last season, we had 24 players go on loan, and some of those loans were absolutely pointless. But then some of them turned out to be really good, like Mark Bowler was fantastic at Notts County, and he's got another loan move. What other ones from last season, George, would you pick out as good loans?
I thought Christian Bielik was really, really good at Birmingham.
Agreed.
He had some outstanding performances. Pagliarello, Julio Pagliarello, he didn't play for a lot of the season, but in the last few weeks he played quite a lot. And
George, would you do me a favour? Would you ask Danny who you just talked about?
I've got a tooth missing. His name is Pagliarello. Don't pick on me, George. It's not fair.
Sorry, I just love that.
Any other ones, George? Sean Campbell was pretty good.
Yeah, he was good at the beginning, but then
injured.
He didn't play that much after that. But a lot of them were really disappointing, and some weeks players just didn't play for 10 weeks in a row and stuff. So it was quite ridiculous at times. But I think they do need to address that and do more preparation and put more thought into where they send these players, because it has to be a team that plays in Arsenal style. There aren't that many of them in the lower leagues, but that's why I think it'd be better to send a lot of players abroad. And I think when Mertesacker comes in, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of youngsters go on loan to German clubs. If he can use his connections there to secure deals like that, then that'd be really beneficial for them. But I think
it is actually who those, George, because I know that down here I have a pretty good knowledge of what goes on at Swindon Town, and under the previous regime they had links to Tottenham, and so we got a bunch of Tottenham players, kids on here down low on loan. Not necessarily they were any good, they certainly didn't do Swindon any good, but we got a bunch of players who Tottenham paid their wages. Now there seems to be a stronger link to Chelsea, so we've got a bunch of Chelsea players on loan. And it's just because someone down here knows someone in the Chelsea setup, and I know there's a Swindon lad who's involved in the Chelsea setup, so a lot of it is not being done in order to develop the youngster. But it's because this coach knows that coach. And like you say, with Per Mertesacker, we could well see players going to Germany. I agree.
Shouldn't we set up some kind of... we used to have partnerships, didn't we? One was Beveren in Belgium, and then we've had other ones. But Vitesse Arnhem, they seem to have a lot of Chelsea players going there. And yeah. I think that would help. But then you look at... I know you personally, George, are quite annoyed. You did a blog in January this year, and you were quite annoyed that Zelalem has just been sitting around at the club doing nothing. And you said he needs to get a decent loan to a decent club. And then, he did go to the team that won the Dutch second division, but they were quite a way clear when he went there. And then when he did go there, he didn't play much, did he?
No. And I think that affected his chances of making it at Arsenal in the long run as well. But I think, Chelsea have with Vitesse, if you sent a lot of players, sometimes you can only have a certain number of players go to one team, especially in England. But if you sent a lot of players to one team, then obviously they know each other's playing styles already, so they'd be able to fit in well. And I think it'd be more beneficial as well. unless they got that partnership between the teams. And if they had a team with a similar playing style to Arsenal, then I think it would be like really good.
So if I go through some of the loans from last season, you just say no future at the club, they go out on loan, whether they possibly could make it the first team in the next couple of years. Zilalem?
I think he still has a chance, but it's unlikely for him now, I think.
Benneker, who was on loan in the French second division, he did quite well.
I think he's actually got a chance. He'll probably go on loan again, and I think he's got a chance, yeah.
I have to excuse my neighbours. They seem to be murdering their children. Mark Bowler?
I don't think he'll make it at Arsenal, but I think he could do a good job at a League One team or a Championship team.
Matt Macy?
I don't think he's good enough for Arsenal. Maybe League One or League Two for him, I think.
Steffi Mavidi?
He's a really talented player. He's, his injury hampered him a bit. I think he has got a chance at Arsenal, but I think this season is really important for him.
And Christian Bielik, you've already said he's probably going out on loan to another Championship team, but in the future?
Yeah, I think he's really got a good chance of making it at Arsenal. I think if he has another loan like he did at Birmingham, then he could be ready, with Mertesacker or retire, and then maybe
I agree with that. I think he's a fantastic player. Looking forward to seeing him making it.
So thankfully he's Polish and he won't want to go back home to any Polish teams because most of them are rubbish, which is the opposite problem. We have to Spanish and German and all these other decent teams, players.
Christian, can I just stress that the views of Danny do not necessarily represent the views of the Bergkamp Wonderland.
And Steve definitely doesn't live in Poland. But no, the Polish teams aren't very good in Europe, are they? They used to be years ago, but not anymore. I wouldn't think there's much of a money or attraction for quite a few players to go. I only get worried if we sign Germans, Italians or Spanish players. And then I always think they're going to bugger off. How about Aaron Ioma?
No, I don't think he's got a future at Arsenal. He can't really get into the under-23 team that much, really. So I think he'll probably leave permanently at some point.
Caelan Hines?
He's already left for Wolfsburg permanently, yeah.
Oh, we sold him for $2 million, didn't we? Or we got 2 million. I'm just looking at the wrong page. About my favourite, Chupa Chupa Apgon, who I thought was quite disappointing. If you were a championship winning team or runners up team, and it didn't score a single goal, did he? He was only getting the tail end of games, but what's that about his future?
But I don't think he's going to make it at Arsenal now. I think he'll probably be sold this summer if a club comes in for him. But the thing is, on loan, he hadn't done anything. I think he scored three goals in nearly 100 games or something. in league matches, but whenever he's only played for Arsenal a few times in the first team, but whenever he's played for Arsenal, he's looked really sharp and stuff. But I think if he had the chance that Iwobi got, I know you can't do that with every player, but if he had that, then he might have been able to do something. But now it's too late, really, I think, for him.
John Terrell,
I think he's another one. He's really, really talented, and but he's 22 years old, and he just has to leave really now because there's too many midfielders ahead of him.
Kelechi, and I can't say his surname.
Namakali. He's a really exciting player. He's a Nigerian youngster. He did really well at Maastricht in the second division in Holland last season, but I think he's going to go on loan again because he hasn't got a work permit yet. But I think he's a player who has a chance if he gets his work permit issues sorted out, then he could have a chance in the future.
Go on.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. If people go to YouTube and try and put in Kelechi, Nwakali, and look for that goal where he ran the entire length of the pitch, turned everyone inside out, then put it in the top corner. Stunning goal for them last season. I think they finished runners-up in that league, didn't they? Or finished third, but Ajax, who finished second, don't go up. Anyway, Glenn Kamara's been released. Is he Finnish or Icelandic?
Yeah, he's Finnish, yeah. He's gone to Dundee.
Yeah, good luck with that. Callum Chambers and Jack Wilshere, well, we kind of know about those because they're first-team players. One of my favourites, Takuma Asano, he's gone back to Stuttgart on loan. Do you think he's got much of a future?
He is quite an interesting player, but he started off quite well last season, but then his performance level dipped a bit. But he was using lots and lots of different positions. He played as a striker, as a winger, as an attacking midfielder. He played so many different positions, so I think this season he needs to perform more consistently, and he said that himself as well. So he's gone to Stuttgart again, and hopefully he'll be able to perform a bit more consistently this season.
Joel Campbell, I suppose, he's first team, so it doesn't really count. Tafari Moore?
But he's back at Arsenal now, but I think the fact that he didn't go on the pre-season tour and there's not many defenders, I think that shows that he doesn't really have a future at Arsenal.
Because with Utrecht in the Dutch First Division, but they were he mainly played for their youth team, which is the third or fourth tier of Dutch football. Yeah. And even then he wasn't getting games, was he?
No.
Julio, unpronounceable. Julio.
He's a good player, but I just think it's difficult for him to get a look in, really, at the moment. Maybe he could go on loan again for another year and then might have a chance after that.
Danny, you realise now you've put poor George on the spot. None of these lads are going to talk to him next season.
He's been positive.
That's really rotten. Haven't asked about the one positive yet. Eddie Nketiah.
Oh, my fate. Him and Malin.
Level, that boy must have something, mustn't he?
Talk to us about him and Malin as well, George.
Yeah. Nketiah is quite an interesting talent. We got him from Chelsea when he was a schoolboy. But he used to play on the left wing quite a lot for the under-18s, and then suddenly he was just played up front in recent season, and he just kept scoring in the 15-16 season. Then last season he just kept scoring. He went into the under-23s and UEFA Youth League as well, and he's just kept scoring at whatever level he was playing at, and now he's with the first team as well, and he looks like a really exciting talent, and he's not fazed by anything. He's quick and he's getting stronger as well, and he's really good tactically. I think that's the most important thing, because he knows how to hold the ball up and create space, so he could have a future. And Marlon joined from Ajax a couple of years ago, and there was a lot of hype about him, and he found it a bit difficult to adapt at times, but the second half of last season he was outstanding, really, and that earned him a place in the pre-season and planned this summer. He didn't play the other day because he had an injury, but I think he could be involved against Chelsea later in pre-season. So, and I think he's a really talented player. So I think at least one of those two will get chances this season in the first team, whether it's in the Europa League or the League Cup.
Okay, good. Well, they're two very... I always go on about those two every week. At Guna, M-E-A-K, is just asking, are Arsenal planning to make any changes to the youth system to get more players who can step up to the first team?
But I think there's not many changes that are being planned at the moment. But I think, like I said, when Mertesacker officially takes over, then there will be a lot of things being altered. But at the moment, it's... basically the same structure they had in place already.
One, we just come in from Twitter, from Petit's Ponytail. Why has there been such a lack of centre-halves coming through Arsenal and England in general? Technical-based training, coaching out instincts?
But I think the main thing is that Arsenal, most of the players they get in at 8 or 9 years old are really good technical players, and a lot of them are midfielders or attackers, and a lot of them move back into defence and they're not natural defenders. So it is a major problem. But I think at Arsenal, a lot of focus is on players who can create chances and score goals. But that's Arsenal's philosophy. And the defensive side of things tends to get neglected at times. But
and that's true in the first team. That's not just with the youth team.
Sadly, yeah. One final question, and you can I'll ask this to you both. So George first, from Bobby Chekibuti, says, name a player from the youth teams that will most likely be his breakout season. You can name a couple if you want.
I think Reece Nelson is definitely one, because he's been on the fringes of things for a couple of years, but now he's got that experience of playing at under-23 level, and I think he's ready to step up. I think Cohen Bramall could be a surprise breakthrough. He's still quite raw, but he's got development to do, but he's just fitted in quite well, and he's better going forward than he is defensively, but he seems really assured. So I think he could get a chance, especially if Gibbs leaves, then might get into the team for like, some of the cup games.
David, if you had to
I would like to think with the Europa League and the League Cup in the first half of the season, I'd like to think that we will keep Christian Bielik, not loan him out till the second half of the season, and let him use those cup competitions to play in a back three with two more experienced players, because I do think he is one who can most definitely make it and would benefit from playing at that level. And then, yes, second half of the season, we can let him go back out on Championship. And I agree, in the same competitions, Rhys Nelson seems to be a good call, and maybe Joe Willock as well. Let's utilise what they've shown us in pre-season. And it'd be good man management as well. It'll sort of say to the kids, look, if you do get your chance and come in, you will get further opportunities. So those three for me.
Ah, as soon as we're nearly ready to wrap it up, we've had Ernie Mac Z has said, finally, been looking forward to this. George Bird, huge fan of your work. So that's E. I'm not sure if we're following him because it's top of the page. And yeah, some other people have just said they're quite excited to hear you on because being, I think, Arsenal associated with always having an illustrious youth system going as far back as when you were talking about, David, going back to the late 60s, early 70s, even before that. But it's always been
before that.
Yeah, something I've been quite proud of. I remember one of the first times we spoke to you, and I said I was doing a history of every Arsenal player ever, and I said, who's your one that most wouldn't have heard of? And you went Mickey Boot, and I said, I've already done Mickey Boot. Last seen somewhere in Australia, so he was another one of the youth players. And we
was
have
it
David.
Australia or South Africa?
Could be both.
I think it was South Africa.
See, even I don't remember that. And then we had David Hillier on, and we were talking about the season that Kevin Campbell scored 54 goals for the youth team, and Hillier claimed responsibility for nearly every single one of those assists.
Kevin Campbell, until he got found out. When people tried to mark him, he'd find a way past them. If you just let him have the ball, he didn't know what to do with it. But what a fantastic player when he first came in and they didn't know him and they hadn't worked him out. He was tremendous.
Certainly was. George, historically, who's your favourite Arsenal player and who's your favourite current Arsenal player?
I think Robert Perez is my favourite player of all time. From the players I've actually seen. Because of just the way he just glided past players and the goals that he scored. But I think Bellerin is probably my favourite current player. I would say Wilshere, but I don't know if he can really be classed as an Arsenal player at the moment. But I just like Bellerin's style and the fact that he was brought in as a youngster as well and he's developed into such a good player.
David, same question to you.
Oh, it has to be Dennis Bergkamp for me. I don't think I've ever seen a player do as much for one club as Dennis Bergkamp did for Arsenal. But I've been lucky enough to see quite a few down the years. Liam Brady, having enjoyed, I would still say we saw the best of his years, although he went to Italy and won the title a couple of times. Just watching him up until, what was he, about 25, 26 when he went. So we kind of got 8 or 9 years of him. And I've never seen a one-footed player be completely control a match in the way that he did. That was fantastic. Then, of course, as George says, Bobby Pires, that whole side, when you look at that team, the Invincible side, and you had Patrick Vieira, you had Thierry Henry, you had Bobby Pires, you had Dennis Bergkamp. I've maintained for years, we didn't realise at the time we were probably looking at four of the six best players on the planet. And Thierry Henry was possibly the best. I can see there would be arguments for who's the fella in charge of Real Madrid at the moment, who was his teammate of France,
Zidane.
Who headbutted his way out. Oh,
Zidane.
Yeah, exactly. I can see that argument as well. But Thierry Henry, for his impact, for the goals he scored, for the attitude he had, for the desire to win, he was something. But no, for me, all-round game, Dennis had everything. He wasn't only supremely skillful. He didn't only have a winning attitude. He had a bit of nastiness in him too, as Mr. Ruddock will doubtless tell you.
And current player?
Current player, that would be a tough one for me. Yeah, no, it really would be a tough one for me. I have to say, obviously, I like Mesut Ozil. I wish he could produce it week in, week out. But even Dennis Bergkamp couldn't do it week in, week out. So, yeah, Mesut. I certainly like Olivier Giroud, which will surprise some people. But I think he is an underrated player. I hope we get to keep him this summer, although I have a feeling he may have to go because we need to make room for some more, hopefully, some more foreign imports. We've got up to our limit, haven't we? So one or two have got to go if we're going to sign one or two.
Excellent. All right, George, before we go, are you confident for the upcoming season at all levels of Arsenal?
I'm not like especially confident, I have to say. But I think we do have a good chance of winning the Europa League, like if we actually take it like seriously. I would like to see young players get a chance in it, but if we put out a strong team in that most of the games, I think we got a chance of winning that. But I just can't see us winning the league title at all, really.
And I suppose finally, we will mention your website, which is arsenalyouth.wordpress.com. And I love your tagline at the top, the stars of tomorrow, today. And although I do mention your work almost every week when I steal all your information, so as I say, thank you very much for the 4 years of me using your information, and keep up the good work. And is there anything you'd like to end the podcast on, anything you'd like to talk about or promote or do a dance? I don't know.
No, not really. No.
Will you come back and join us maybe halfway through the season and just do a roundup of how the players, you never know, you might even want to come and do a little bit more than that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You got a taste for it now. You're hungry for more.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant.
It would be, because you have a lot of, I mean, I know Clive, who we've had on a few times, he is a master when it comes to talking about the youth football and the tactics. And I'd like to get him on with you if his podcast allows it. But I'm just looking at your website now. That picture that you have got of Ashley Maitland-Niles in that top.
Ainsley.
What have I called him?
Ashley.
I can't. Bloody help it. It's like the astronomy astrology thing.
Isn't going to be able to talk to this season.
Oh, what if someone was keeping count? I'd be up before the Hague. That picture you got on your website, that is a magnificent picture, that kit, and then just standing there, and just so great to see so many decent young players coming up through the, hopefully coming up through the youth system. Anything you want to add, David, before we go?
No, I don't think so. I've enjoyed doing the show. It's great to hear George's views, because we don't do enough. Well, maybe we don't do enough coverage of youth football. Maybe it's good that they're kind of left out of the glare of publicity all of the time, because we do tend to wax lyrical about kids who are still learning their trade, don't we? But I did enjoy tonight. Thank you very much, George. And thank you, Danny.
It's been brilliant. If you want to follow George on Twitter, it's at JEORGEBIRD, and he does wonderful tweets, and all the big accounts follow him, because he's the man to know when it comes to youth football. So finally, thank you, David, and thank you, George.
Thank you very much.
This is us over and done, and bloody hell, Gimli, look, we've done a podcast in just over an hour. Who'd have thought? So brilliant. We'll be back soon. I think Mick Gimli wants to come and do a surprise live one with just me. Not sure when we're going to do it. We're just going to do a live YouTube hangout, and then the only time the rest of AVW will know when we're doing it is when they see it, and then they'll probably come and join in with us. So thank you very much for listening, everybody, at the Arsenal. As I think one podcast famously said, we will see you later.
Get damn, dog.
Oh, I'm glad I waited. Nanu, nanu, you cheeky monkey bitches.